Well, spring is finally here. The weather is getting warmer, and baby animals are making their way out into the wild world. And here in mid-Michigan, we might see fawns or newborn birds, rabbits, lots more. But what if you see one without an obvious parent nearby? Current State's Melissa Benmark has more on that. I think everybody's been in that situation at one time or another. They see some stranded, isolated baby animal.
Right. And it's actually really hard to tell if a critter is abandoned because the parents do leave them for considerable lengths of time. And there are also, you know, questions about, for instance, the smell of a human on a critter if you were to pick it up or whatever, which is actually something that we tackle in this interview. On Friday, I talked to Jim Harding from MSU's Department of Zoology, and he says, for one thing, don't jump to immediate conclusions if you see babies with mom out of sight for a period of time.
Lots of mother mammals, like deer and rabbits especially, that are common in the suburbs here, do leave their offspring for long periods of time so that they don't attract attention to them. And so the average person who's discovers a rabbit nest or something and watches it for a little while will say, nothing's coming to that nest. It must be abandoned. And how long you have to wait? Well, probably you have to observe it over probably a 24-hour period because a lot of times mom won't come back until it's, you know, nighttime. Or, you know, she might sneak in once during the day, but mostly at night. Since nocturnal activity is pretty common in our mammal fauna. So it's usually best and unless you can visually see that the things that are, that the little animals are starving to death, it's actually pretty hard to tell, and it's better to err on the side of leaving them alone. You know, just like human mothers, I mean, deer mothers and rabbit mothers and furry mammal-type mothers don't abandon their young easily. Also, that goes for birds, too. You know, there's this idea that if you or your child accidentally touches a bird's nest, that it will automatically abandon the nest, and that's not true at all. Actually, most birds have a fairly poor sense of smell, so unless they actually see you messing with the nest, they can't tell that you've been there and touched the eggs or the young. But I've had people say, well, my young son accidentally touched this baby robin, so we have to take it in and take care of it. And I say, no, just go put it back in the nest. You know, it's much better off with mom than it is with you. So there's no easy way to tell.
I suppose there are some time and materials considerations in terms of taking care of something that you found as well.
If a rabbit nest has been abandoned, or let's say the mom got hit by a car or something, what are you going to do about it? There are wildlife rehabbers who are licensed by the state and can take in animals and raise them. But there are all kinds of questions about, first of all, if you take in baby rabbits, let's use rabbits as an example since it's pretty common for people to find their nests in the spring. If you find a nest of baby rabbits, and they're awfully cute, of course, and if you make the decision, probably wrong, but let's say you make the decision that they've been abandoned and you're going to take care of them, where are you going to get rabbit milk? You could probably maybe buy some formula or get a formula from a vet. You know, they do have domestic rabbits. So you might be able to find a substitute, but it would be difficult. You can't just use, you know, cow's milk or something. Because mammal milk contains certain enzymes and things that are particular to that species. Same with human milk, you know, you can't just... That's why simply substituting cow's milk for human milk doesn't work. You have to have a specific formula to do that. And then there's the question, and I know I'm going to get into trouble here with some people, but there's the whole question, let's say you successfully keep a young rabbit alive for a while until the point where you think it can be released, how much will the human touch compromise that animal's ability to survive in the wild? If you're looking at the population level, helping one baby robin or one baby rabbit to survive for a few more weeks probably hasn't done much. If a robin loses a nest, a pair of robins loses a nest, they will re-nest. And they'll re-nest rather quickly, usually, as long as it's not too late in the season. Same with rabbits. They have more than one brood of young a year. And if they lose one batch to a predator or something, they'll go ahead and they'll have another batch of young in a few weeks. So all this effort, and I have to ask, okay, you've put in hours and hours and hours of effort to save one baby robin. Maybe those hours and hours of effort, say volunteering for a conservation group or something, may do a whole lot more for wildlife and the natural environment than saving one rabbit or one robin. So I know people feel strongly about that every individual counts, but at the population level, our efforts might be better spent.
As a homeowner, then, if you have critters in your yard, what are some common sense things that you can do to improve their lot? Like, for instance, you wonder if you see a young critter, well, maybe I won't pick it up, but I'll leave food and water for it.
Leaving food and water out for a rabbit or something, I guess it can't hurt, probably, but. A lot of people feed birds. I feed birds, and you can make an argument that that's not a good idea either. But I think providing habitat, even a suburban yard that's fairly well manicured, if you leave a little rough edge here and there, a little more natural, that would be a place where rabbits could nest, or if you like rabbits, or, if you have an old tree and the limbs aren't hanging right over your roof, maybe not lop off every dead limb, allow a few holes in the old tree there for squirrels to use, or woodpeckers or something. Woodpeckers usually make their own holes, but squirrels will use cavities. Owls will use natural cavities. There's a lot that the average property owner can do to help wildlife, planting edible fruits and things. You can do a little research and find out, plant mulberries or crab apples or things that, things like cedar waxwings and robins and other birds will eat. That's probably a far better use of your time than, again, I don't want to seem cynical here, but raising one robin, saving one baby robin. If you went out there and planted a bunch of trees and edible plants, you might help the situation much, much more firmly.
When I lived in Okemos, I had about 3/4 of an acre, and I had a little plot of trees, and there was a fawn that I would see, and I could have sworn that its mom was leaving it there for daycare, because I would never see her, and it would, it would nap, and it was always the same time of the afternoon, but the yard was fenced, and I thought, well, I wonder, do they actually kind of pick out a safe, consistent spot, and if you see them in that, presumably you should leave them alone.
Absolutely. If you know that there's a particular spot where a fawn has been hiding, or if you know there's a rabbit nest or a tree with a squirrel nest in it, certainly the more space you give them, the better. Constantly going over to check on them, or just being nosy and seeing what's going on, and is probably just a bad idea. The more space you can give them, the better. Fawns are left for long periods of time, and fawns we know have either reduced or modified scents so that predators have a hard time finding them. So they can crouch down in the grass and before they're old enough to just follow mom around all the time, which takes several weeks, they're going to be left for long periods of time. And let's give them some space.
It's pretty early now, but 2 winters ago was so severe. Are there any senses generally about the kind of impact this last winter has had on Michigan's wildlife?
This was a very cold winter. It wasn't, at least in the Lansing area, it wasn't quite as snowy as the previous winter, but it was certainly a very cold winter. Just my informal observations are that most wildlife seems to be in good shape. I'm hearing all of the local frogs begin to call on time when I would expect. I've heard that salamanders are breeding on time. I've seen turtles basking already. I've had reports of snakes basking. I've seen our mammalian species moving around. The deer that I see in my neighborhood do not look stressed. You know, they don't have that puffy look in the face that you get when they're starving. You know, they look really good, and they don't seem to be underfed. So I think despite the cold and the discomfort that we felt, especially in our heating bills, I think the wildlife seems to be in pretty good shape in the area.
Jim Harding, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.